Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends and neighbors. Welcome to the Midnight Garden. I am your host, Mudtoe, and I haven't given any thought to which apples and fruits I would talk about sitting in between tonight. How about turnips? And I think I've used radishes before. I don't know. I didn't keep a listing of all the various fruits and vegetables I have mentioned. Turnips mental block. Bananas. Turnips and bananas. We're going to sit in between tonight. Come join me in between the turnips and the bananas here in the Midnight Garden. And we will talk of things important and not so important. I want to apologize right off the top because there was no show last week, and that was all my fault. I did set up the show, and the long-time listeners will know the stages of this are I have to get on blogtalk.com and set up the show, tell them that I'm going to do one. And then I post that the show is going to happen on Facebook, and then I dial in on the phone and I do the show. Well, I got home after having set up the show last week. I got home and went to dial up the show and found that I had no minutes on my phone. So that kind of put the kibosh on everything right there. I mean, there's other ways possible around it. If there were, sorry, I was just distracted by the television. I'll get back to what's on the TV. But the one thing that I can't get around, obviously I don't have internet at the house anymore. Not obviously. I don't have internet at the house anymore, and so there was no way for me to start the show without the phone. And I didn't have one, which is something of a sense of isolation, particularly when the weather has been as it has been. I do have the ability to text, however. So I suppose I could text messages to the fire department. Do they take text messages? I don't know. But anyway, that's what happened last week, and I'm horribly sorry to all of you who were anticipating the show, and then it didn't happen. This week, my error was that I didn't promote the show on Facebook, so I don't know if anybody's actually out there or not. I don't know if the people who listen to the show all the time depend on that Facebook link, that link on Facebook every week, or if they have figured out how to get onto Blog Talk and find the show that way. So again, I hope you're here. I hope that you have found alternate ways to get to the show other than the helpful link that I provide each week. And if not, we'll just take it as a lesson learned and move forward from there. And now let me share with you what is distracting me here. I was just before the show started, I was watching, what was I watching? I was watching Planet Terror, which I had on DVD. And then I turned off the DVD and I saw that Pulp Fiction is on AMC. So I left that running. Turn the sound off, but I've got the picture going because it kind of helps me. I found having something on the television helps me to stop thinking about how long has gone by on the show. And it's because I'll think things like, oh, how long? I don't even know how long far I am into the show. And I got to think of more things to say and so forth and so on. I find that having, for whatever reason, having something going on the television assures me that time is continuing to pass. And that eventually I will get to the 30-minute limit, and I will be able to end the show in a civilized manner. So cool, I like Pulp Fiction, so I left it running. But as I said, it's on AMC. Wait a minute, now I got an emergency thing. I have issued a required weekly. Okay, never mind then. That now Pulp Fiction has the required weekly test of the emergency broadcast system going on. Now they've gone to commercial. Okay, that's the one thing. I used to love AMC, but then they started showing commercials. And they always, I liked it when they concentrated on older movies because this wasn't an issue, but now they show newer movies and they just cut the shit out of them. And I don't like that. And Pulp Fiction, about the first third of the movie, is very, a lot of it's about drug use. And I guess AMC doesn't allow that because they've cut most of the first part of the movie out. And then as I came on the air, I saw they had substituted a deleted scene. So that's what we're doing to get to pad it back up to some sort of usable length. They've put in stuff that the director said he didn't want in the movie. And that I always wondered kind of how they get away with it. And it must be about money. They make money obviously from these movies being on TV and on airplanes and so forth, and that's why they, meaning the directors and writers and producers and whatnot, to put up with their movies being mutilated in this way. There's another way that movies get mutilated that doesn't have anything to do with content, and that's that they put commercials in them. I was watching not too long ago Escape from New York, and there's the big chase scene at the end where they're going over the bridge trying to make it back to safety, and there's mines on the bridge, and there's a guy chasing them and all this, and it kind of builds up to a climax at the end, and they took a commercial break in the middle of that chase. I mean, it made me want to throw things at the screen. I can only imagine what John Carpenter and the other filmmakers must have thought of that little improvisation there. Let's just take a commercial. And there is, I've got to pay the bills and all that, but I'll just buy it on DVD. It's very difficult for me to even watch a movie on TV anymore. But with, as I say, taking things out and making them, dubbing them to say stupid things instead of the dirty words, and son of a buck, and so forth. And then the commercials. What was I watching? I think I started to watch, but it was a movie that's like 2.5 hours in the theater, and with all the commercials, it ran about 4 hours on television. So I don't have that time to. I don't have that kind of attention span to invest in something like that. So anyway, that's where we're at right now. I'm watching the commercials continue to roll by here. Just watching them. Glad I don't have to listen to them, and wondering what I'm going to do for the rest of the show. But that's pretty normal. I never know. I never planned this. I found out when I planned it, I ended up just talking off the top of my head anyway. So why take the energy? As far as on the personal front, there's some. What I'm hesitating here is there was something I wanted to tell you that I was going to tell you last week. And of course, since I don't prepare or write any of these things down, I have no idea what it was. So perhaps it will occur to me on the way. Hasn't so far, so I guess I'll just move on. This is my weekend at my folks. I've been kind of going sort of alternating a week here, a week back in Columbus. The Columbus week was not terribly pleasant because there wasn't a lot going on. Still, the people who employ me from time to time still kind of recovering from Christmas, haven't gotten back in the swing of things yet. It is very, very cold here in our great state in the Midwest. Not as cold as some people had it, but it was plenty cold enough. And my apartment is not terribly resistant to the cold. As I said on Facebook, there's a brisk northeasterly breeze going through my apartment right now. And I ended up with chapped lips, which wasn't very, very pleasant. But I'm here. My mother has supplied me with this product here, Aquaphor, which she says is very good. So I'm giving that a try, and my lips are recovering. I'm cranking back to Mud Toe's usual kissable lips, which are so famous, I hope. But anyway, okay. We're back on Pulp Fiction now, and she's going to do in a few minutes here. She's going to do cocaine in the washroom, and then a few minutes after that, she's going to do what she thinks is cocaine, but is actually heroin. And this is what pushes the whole plot forward. Now I'm wondering, are they going to leave those things out? And then it's like there's no explanation for what they're doing if they're not narcotics involved here. So why do you even show the movie if you're going to take that stuff out? I mean, you can possibly make the argument if the scenes with the drugs and the language and so forth doesn't have anything to do with the plot. But in this particular case, it is the plot. So I mean, why would you even bother? But I guess. I don't know. And it wasn't there a deal? I don't know. I didn't mean to get stuck on this topic, but wasn't there a deal a while back where people were trying to rent videos? They would take videos and take out the dirty parts. and then try to rent them out of their own video store, and the studios sued them. And I think probably more about money again than anything else. But so I guess in some cases we fight that, in some cases we don't. And again, it probably has everything to do with how much money is being paid, and perhaps that's a cynical attitude for me to have. But if I had $20, I'd bet it that was accurate. Now, see, I promised myself that I wouldn't get on here and just whine about personal shit, you know, how awful my life is right now, and I think I've accomplished that. Instead, I've whined about commercials and cutting out dirty words in movies. So, I've shifted the whining to in a different direction. So let's see if that's more palatable and more helpful to those of you out there waiting to listen to great philosophy, and which I seldom provide, and I have to say I don't think I ever promised it. I don't even know if you could call it a promise. My idea behind the show is that I speak, and my hope is that my words reach somebody who needs to hear them, and that's and hope for the guidance of spirit in that undertaking. So here I am, and that's what's happening. I think I said in the little promo for the show that I did put up on Blog Talk, but not on Facebook because I neglected to do that. But I think I'd said about I was going to talk about the coming of spring, which first of all, I mean my little blurbs in the promotions of the show are generally only, you know, 25 to 35% serious. Anyway, I never really know what I'm going to talk about, but talking about the coming of spring was just something that occurred to me because, you know, the temperature is not only higher than it has been since Christmas, really. And although we had two rather nice days there, just kind of sitting in the middle. But, I mean, is that an indication? I mean, you see things, you watch things changing, and of course, spring is about change, just as autumn is about change in the other direction. But spring is the good, I guess, if you're going to put it in those terms, that the return of life is good, and the sort of decline of life is bad. I would consider them both be neutral because, you know, neither can exist without the other. But spring is something that we all look forward to, I think, because winter is so shitty. So, go with that, even though it's certainly not spring yet, not likely to be for another couple of months. But you see things melting, and you see, you have snow blowing, and it's not necessary to shovel, and it's not necessary to brush off the car. These are all, I think most of us find, at least I do, to be positive changes and remind us, or me anyway, that better things are coming, as opposed to being, you know, locked up in your frigid apartment, unable to call anybody because you don't have any more minutes. I do have minutes now, by the way. It's that my mother was kind enough to buy me some minutes because, you know, until the college or anyone else who might hire me to do some day work starts to get fully cranked up, I will be rather light in the money department. I do have the first one of the season scheduled, and of course I can't tell you about it because it's top secret. But I am portraying someone who has symptoms of a disease, and the young medical students have to figure out what it is. In 20 questions or less, not 20 questions, they get a certain amount of minutes to do it. And these are going to be fourth-year medical students. I've never worked with fourth years before, so they should all be pretty sharp. So I guess my expectations isn't the right word. The way I'm going to do this, I don't have to, I shouldn't anyway, have to spoon feed them the way that I would work with a first year or second year medical student. The whole idea of this is to get the, is to train the medical students so that they can, you know, deal with real patients, which surprisingly enough is a relatively new idea. The gentleman, the doctor who trains us for these, to do these encounters, said that he never saw a live patient until he was in residency. So, I mean, I think it's better that you at least, that you get the chance to do these things over the period of your training and get at least some feel for whether you're any good at it or not. Because, you know, at some point, unless you're a researcher, at some point you're going to have to talk to a patient and try and get information out of them without scaring them to death or pissing them off. So I'm very happy to be a part of it, and I just wish there were more so that I could make an actual living off of it. But now I must continue my quest for a 40-hour-a-week job, and once I get that, then I have to walk away from this medical training thing, which is, again, a shame because I really, really do enjoy doing it. Most of the people who are doing it are retired, which kind of gives me an edge, although it's an edge that's slowly disappearing. You know, as I said, you have to kind of have a lot of free time to be able to do this. So you have to be, most of them are either students or retired people. And I'm one of the few that is in the middle, so it helps me with getting assignments. If they need somebody who's, you know, in the 40, 50-year-old range, I can do that, you know, more convincingly than someone who is actually, you know, 60, 70 years old. But then that is, with each year, that advantage slowly disappears, just like everything else. But I'm excited about that. So that's a positive change. Now I've also been, I promised again is a strong word. I've been told, what was the circumstance? One of my astrologer friends was on Facebook talking about something being in transit or something over Uranus, and of course Uranus always brings all sorts of funny, you know, scatological jokes into mine, and I always try and throw one in there. Especially, you know, for me, because my star sign, Aquarius, is ruled by Uranus. So lots of great stuff that comes out of that. And so I'll just put something in there knowing that this astrologer that I know, I haven't ever given him any money, so he's not my astrologer. But this astrologer that I know is always amused by it. You know, I wouldn't throw it out there if I was going to. You know, and I often hesitant to make jokes on people's threads who are light workers of various disciplines, because, you know, I'm not mocking. It's not meant to mock. I'm being lighthearted, but some people who take these things very seriously tend to think that you might be sticking your tongue out at them. That's not what's intended at all. But this gentleman I know, he wouldn't take it like that. So I'd said said something about the moon and Uranus or whatever, and I wrote back something different about, you know, Uranus, and he had replied, you know, knowledge I already knew, that Uranus, my sign was ruled by Uranus, and that, you know, changes in Uranus could have this effect, this effect, this effect. And, you know, what came out of it was some of his friends replied to the thread, and someone who was probably taking this a bit more seriously than I was said that, you know, that based on, you know, the motions of Uranus, that things would start looking up for me in April. Now, before that, I had had someone post, I can't remember, this is in a completely different context, but it was the same kind of thing. I was posting something kind of silly on a lightworker's website about something they had said. And the person came back at me with saying that she'd seen that things were going to look up for me in May. So, you know, if it's either April or it's May, I'm not going to you know, quibble about the exact date, about that sort of that calibration issue. I'm just going to look forward to things being maybe being better when the weather gets warmer. And there's some logic to that. As I was saying before, things, we come out of the Christmas season and out of the New Year season and plump into this new year where there's supposed to be all sorts of expectations. And if you happen to live in the northern part of the country as I do, you're probably fighting the weather, which is a big obstacle to anything you try to do. Obstacles in ways maybe you don't think of. So there's probably some logic to the idea that that the improvement was going to come along with the improvement in climatological conditions. As the weather warms and the trees bloom, people might say, I feel better about life in general, and let's hire somebody. So I will look forward to that. I have been, I'm dutifully sending my resumes and my cover letters into the cosmos, and they disappear into the black hole and they never come back. It's, I must say, I haven't seen anything that felt like a slam dunk to me. This would be great, and somebody's going to interview me for this. But when in the past, when I have felt that way about something I've sent off, I still haven't heard anything back about it. So I don't know whether it's too many people applying. That's what's frustrating. In the past, when I've been engaged in job searches, when somebody didn't want an email to interview me, they would email me, or back in ancient times, they would snail mail me, and just say, thank you for your application. We're sorry we can't use you at this time. We'll keep your application on file for 6 months, that sort of thing. Now, employers don't even bother to do that. They just kind of leave you out there in cyberspace somewhere, I guess it's after a few days, you just presume you're not going to hear back from them. I'm not even, the last time I was really seriously working, I still was eligible to do some things at Ohio State, and I was working with a coach. And I don't know how much that really, he took me through some interviewing skills. And, I'm not 100% on how well that works. I think it kind of depends more on who you're interviewing with. But what it did for me was it gave me some confidence in going out there and doing an interview, since I hadn't done one for a long time. So that having that opportunity, and if I could, I'm thinking of things that I could find to do during this sort of medium period. If it is going to be April, May, according to the stars, what are things that I can do between now and then to increase my odds, I guess? And so this is one of these areas where I am feeling the lack of the social worker that I used to have. I used to run interference on a lot of these things that I need to get settled with the government. And while they really didn't do much for me in terms of preparation for jobs or even finding jobs, they did take away that thing. Like, it seems like on these last 2 weeks, all I've been getting done is trying to get my student loan. Every year I have to re-report to them that I'm not making any money. And then there's food stamps, and there's Medicaid, and there's all this stuff where you, that requires attention. And it feels like that's all I'm getting done. That I spend so much time getting that stuff, keeping that stuff in line, that it seriously cuts into the time I would use in looking for a job. And presume that the government and society wants me to have a job, so that I wouldn't have to burden them with my participation on food stamps and whatnot. But it also seems that there are barriers, roadblocks. Maybe roadblocks isn't quite the right word. Maybe barriers isn't quite the right word. It's that there are things that are slowing me down, you know, in order to, I mean, the idea is, okay, this is a program to bridge you over until you get to your next job. But it takes you so long to do the maintenance on that program that you don't ever get to the next job. And there's a sort of a presumption, which this is the terrifying part, there's sort of a presumption among a lot of the people that I deal with that I'm not going to get to that next job. That there's no even, you know, consideration of that possibly happening. And you know, I've still got 14 years to Social Security, and that's a long time, especially limping along the way I have been. And depending upon my parents do so much for me, and they are, you know, 80 and 77 years old. It's not wanting to say it in this way, but I mean it's true. You're talking about 14 years down the line. What are the odds that they're still going to be able to help me? They were talking, actually, I overheard my mother and my father talking about shopping for funeral plots the other day. And then my mother, this morning, I was out with her grocery shopping, and she said, she brought that subject up and asked if I would want her to get a plot for me, because, you know, I don't have any. She seemed, you know, if you know, if my daughter makes this decision, then she'll probably bury me in Columbus where I don't have any family and all that. And I don't really have all that much family here in I'm saying the names of my, it doesn't matter. I do this stealth thing where I'm saying, well, I don't want to just say, I don't want to give away where I live. I live in Ohio, and used to work at Ohio State and trying to get back in there. But my parents live in a small town outside of Columbus, and so they've kind of pulled me into this whole funeral plot thing. That's yet another reminder to me of how there are things I ought to be able to help them with. You know, instead of them helping me, I ought to be helping them. And it's another thing that adds to depression when there's, you know, 3 to 5 inches of snow outside and it's 5 degrees below zero wind chill and you're running out of peanut butter and your phone doesn't have any minutes on it. And then, yes, oh, yes, I'm going to die. I remember that, too. Not immediately, I hope. You know, no reason to think it's going to happen anytime soon, but you never know. And, you know, my folks are kind of closer to it than I am, and that's distressing. It's just distressing. Don't know why I went off on that tangent, but, oh, dear. Well, let's see what else. Again, something needs to start happening in my life so I can make these programs more interesting. As it is, just kind of blah. Just kind of blah a little bit. We're holding the holding our position, I guess. Just holding a position and hoping that something. Okay, I just got my 90-second warning from Blog Talk. I'm going to have to set some sort of goal to have something ready for the next show, because I really feel like I'm not. My whole point of this show was to be to talk about moving forward, and I don't think I've been doing that. So next week, as my promise for next week, something about moving forward I will have for you. And thank you for joining this evening, and have a pleasant good evening.